speak of the same volume as when she yells at me from the other room, but I don't hear her then either. So. The second scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of Matthew in the 24th chapter, beginning reading at verse 36. Listen once again for God's word. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. I'm waiting for Jesus. It's not like him to be late. I think he was just waiting till we were all together. He should be here any second. Let's just give him a few more seconds. You're all looking at me with some bewilderment. Didn't you come to church today expecting to encounter Jesus? If not, then why did you come to church? Although I found it amusing that one or two of you sort of turned your head a little bit back to see if anybody was actually coming through the door. Was there ever for you a moment of expectation? Or have we all become so jaded that we don't expect to encounter Jesus anywhere, not even in church? What do you expect of the future? A friend of mine has become very pessimistic. He said, 10 years ago we had Bob Hope and Johnny Cash and Steve Jobs. Now we have no hope, no cash, and no jobs. I just hope nothing happens to Kevin Bacon. In Matthew, Jesus is not looking or talking about his birth. He's looking forward into the future, to his second coming. He tells us that it's going to be a surprise. I don't really like to preach on the second coming very much. I guess it's because I just don't understand it well enough. And I sure don't try to spend any time trying to figure out when it's going to happen. For the people who have figured it all out and know exactly when it's going to happen, Jesus says that even he doesn't know. Jesus doesn't even know. So who do they think they are that they have figured it out? And for those who say it will never happen, he says, stay alert. It'll happen when you least expect it. I had a little trouble with this text. It's the lectionary text for the first Sunday of Advent. But it puts the expectations in such negative terms. People got into trouble because they were not paying attention. They were not ready. The people in the time of Noah drowned. The workers in the field and the mill got left behind, and the homeowner was robbed. There's a negative consequence for not being watchful, for not being ready for that which is unexpected. I think it would be more helpful if it was put in positive terms. Think about the people who were on the ark, or the ones working in the field and the mill who were taken to heaven, or the homeowner who had his security system working and caught the robbers. I think it's better when it's couched in positive terms. It always feels a little strange to be talking about the second coming in the season of Advent. I mean, After all, we're preparing to celebrate his first coming, right? But of course, we understand, as the children told us, that already happened. So Matthew looks backward and forward. He looks back to Bethlehem, and he looks forward to the time when Jesus will return and end time as we know it and bring the promise of God. We look back and we look forward. People in the Bible have always done that. The people of the Old Testament looked back as they thought about the promise of Emmanuel. And then we look back at Joseph and the angels and wise men. And sometimes, although I don't do it very often, we look forward to the second time that the Word of God incarnate comes. Glad sang, hear the angels as they're singing on the morning of his birth. But how much greater will their song be when he comes to rule the earth? It's great. I just don't think about it very much. I'm too caught up in the here and now, I guess. Karl Barth said, we live in the in-between times. Jesus has been born. The promise of God with us is fulfilled. And the second coming at the end of time hasn't happened yet. Right there, in between those two major time markers, that's where we live. We live in the in-between times, in the here and now. The Bible's full of stories about people looking back. The Old Testament people looked back at the Exodus and thought about how wonderful God was. And then they looked forward and said, oh, come, Emmanuel. The New Testament people looked back at the wonder of the resurrection, but then they cried out, Maranatha, which means, come again, Lord Jesus. And so here we are, some 2,000 years later, still in the in-between time, preparing to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of our Savior with a glance toward the future when the whole world will be put right. But there's this delay. How are you with waiting while things are delayed? Sometimes I'm better than at others. Frederick Buechner wrote that faith is a way of waiting. It was snowing that day. That Christmas Eve, it had turned bitter and cold, and ice on the roads made travel dangerous. But we had family that was coming for Christmas. We had called and told them not to come. It was too dangerous. We'll do Christmas after the roads are improved. But they insisted they wanted to be at our house on Christmas Day, and so I started into a time of waiting. Looking out the window every few minutes, looking for their cars, worried, fearful, waiting. All of a sudden, a peace came over me that I can't explain. I just settled into a chair and thought about what the angel said to Luke. Fear not. And then I did some faith waiting. They arrived safely, and Christmas was, for me, just a little more special that year. Not all times are high times in spirit. Do you spend much time in the land of the mundane? You know, that place in your life when nothing spectacular happens. We all have great portions of our lives, I think, that just wouldn't make for anything interesting to put in a diary. Dear diary, nothing interesting happened today. It's not bad that that's the case. It's inevitable. We all need that time, those day-to-day mundane times when you have to do the laundry or pay the bills. What's bad is when we allow the mundane to numb our souls and make us lose the possibilities. The possibilities that Jesus will come and we won't be paying any attention. Jesus appears most often, I think, in the mundane times of life, not in a vision, not in a voice from heaven, but in a presence that's hard to explain to anyone who hasn't experienced it. The holiday of Christmas certainly can't sneak up on you. We've been inundated with Christmas since Halloween. 2 months of Christmas carols and specials at the stores. Now, Christmas can't sneak up on you. You know that's coming. But we're talking about an experience that is much more significant than a holiday or the anniversary of something. Matthew reminds us that when Noah was building the ark, people were going about their everyday mundane lives. They were doing the laundry, they were going to work, they were planting, they were planning weddings, they were cooking turkeys, they were paying tuition. Matthew tells us that the ones who were taken up in the second coming were not kneeling in church. They were working their fields, grinding at the mill, doing everyday mundane things, driving on bad roads. It's in the midst of the everyday mundane life that Jesus comes to us mostly. Every day is a day of judgment, and every day is a day of grace. Jesus comes to us in the here and now with a new Christmas. Jesus comes to us as we wait in faith, informed by our memory that God has always been there for us. Every day is an adventure in faith. But here's a guarantee. Jesus will come. Some will be paying attention and some will not. But Jesus will come. And every one of us is open to those precious moments when we experience a personal advent that has nothing to do with the past or the future, has nothing to do with Christmas or the second coming. It's right now, right here. Macbeth says, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." But that's not a Christian perspective on life. For us, life is full of hope. Life is full of possibilities. Life is full of serendipities. Even in the most mundane, in-between times, Christmas can happen. You know what serendipity is? It's an unexpected, pleasant experience. It's like you put on a winter coat that you haven't had on since last year, and when you reach in the pockets, there's a $20 bill. That's serendipity. Advent is a time of waiting and watching, not for Jesus to be born. That already happened. And it's not for the second coming of Jesus. We have no idea when that will happen. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10,000 years from now. And maybe, just maybe, it happens for us in the moment we awake from death and find ourselves in the very presence of the Prince of Peace. Or not. Maybe we thought we had all the time in the world, and so we stopped paying attention. In this Advent season, you may have a chance to experience the advent of Christ in the present, in the here and now. It might happen in church. It might be the third verse of a hymn that touches your heart, or some snippet of a sermon or a prayer, or an inspirational anthem. But more likely, it will be in the mundane, everyday experiences of wrapping gifts and untangling tree lights. Will happen at work or at school. Jesus will come when you least expect it. You see, it's meant to be a surprise. Just like the story in Matthew, there will come a time when it will be too late. You can miss it. But if you're watchful, if you're tuned in to the possibilities, you can have a personal advent. Maybe today. Now let us stand and affirm our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed.